Space, the final frontier. Space Station Ashlyn sits on the edge of Federation space with its companion ship, the USS Delamis Christian. The space around them is full of mystery and strange wonders, where secrets are kept and danger lurks around every corner. The crew of the Delamis Christian must navigate treacherous waters as they work to protect the Federation. But as they peer into the unknown, they will discover that the line between friend and foe is not always clear. They will be tested like never before, and will face challenges that will push them to their limits. Join us on this adventure as we explore the farthest reaches of space and uncover the hidden truths that lie within the shadows. Tabletop Journeys presents Star Trek: Preservations. Last time on Star Trek Preservations.
Stardate 57621.12. After 3 weeks of searching for species Epsilon, we still have found nothing. Detailed scans in search for their energy trail have yielded no new clues. The Delamis Christian and several other ships in the region continue attempts to track down the unknown vessel that escaped the shoals of Tethys. Extensive search patterns involving four additional ships coordinated by Ashlyn Station have occurred. These ships represent some of the most cutting-edge vessels in our inventory, with the best sensors and tracking systems in the fleet. USS Pulsar has returned to its normal mission profile, while the Michael Collins remains on its extended survey mission. Two Nova-class vessels, the USS Faraday and the USS Carl Sagan, join us, and the Intrepid-class USS Marathon in the search. The captains and executive officers of our vessels have been summoned to a meeting aboard the Faraday to learn what our next steps in the search will be.
I will be here. In this life or the next.
And I guess with that, I...
Wow. Yeah, that's deep.
So I let the call linger a little bit before one of both of us decides that it's time to end the call.
At a certain point, you hear medical folks, it's time for your next treatments. And he says, I must go. And he ends the call.
So I pause looking at the comm for a moment. And then I don't even realize that I was holding it, but I hurl the glass vase that's in my hand with a shout. I hurl it against the wall.
It shatters against the wall, and you see the crystals of this vase kind of float. And you see the star that for this system come in and like the light refract off the pieces, and it almost falls to the ground like in slow motion and reminds you of snow squalls in the mountains the first time you actually went to the Andorian homeworld for a visit, and your father took you and pointed at the sky, and you could see how it's the ice crystals shine as they fell. And from there, we're back to the folks in Transporter 1.
Chief, energize.
The three of you are transported. You are on board the Faraday. You are greeted with their transporter chief. You have their XO. And there is an illicit security person inside the door of the transporter room. What you do notice about the Faraday, which you find different, is that the transporter chief has a sidearm. The security officer has a shouldered rifle and has in addition to his standard uniform, and this group uses the same uniforms as your team, that standard DS9 style uniform, but he has basically a belt and holster, so sidearm, shouldered rifle, and it's got a bandolier style strap, which has additional equipment pouches attached to it, which is more typical of a Dominion war about to be in conflict setup than a search pattern type of mission.
And who is the XO of the Faraday? Is it?
That is
Frank.
Commander Frank.
And Faraday and Franks and all them were part of the battle group, right?
Correct.
All right.
Frank would have been likely an ensign, possibly even a cadet in training during the Faraday's heyday during the Dominion War, but she was definitely on board during that time frame. And I did not mention that when asked about her career. This is her only posting. She has actually never been on any other ship. So she started here. She did her cadet tours here. She has been a part of this ship since she became commissioned. And slightly before.
So I step down off the transporter pad and extend my hand.
Commander Tobor, welcome aboard the Faraday. She extends her hand.
Damn, best those pips look good on you.
I'm still waiting for my next one. It's going to happen.
Absolutely.
It actually would have happened, but there's only one ship I was built for. So I'll wait till my captain gets a promotion.
Fair enough. You never forget your first love.
Never at all. Speaking of which, how do you like that job I turned down? Follow me. And she walks out the door. And you hear snickering from the security officer and the transporter chief as you are all
like, I give them both. I give them both a presence 12 command 5 glance stare. The hell are you laughing at, Ensign? Don't say it out loud, but I give them that stare.
Yeah. And then
we walk out.
The security chief actually buttons up tight. And the transporter chief, like, stops what he was doing, but you can tell that they are stopping short of caring quite as much. But they do address the situation. And as I assume the rest you of follow. You follow?
You're, as we're going out, I'm thinking to myself, Ocean, you had better kick her ass.
So as we're walking to the conference room, I'm just going to, yeah. I'm like, so what's with all the hardware, Bess? The war's over, isn't it?
The war, yes. The new conflict is right on the horizon. You're the one that called the protocol. Are they read in? You're now in a turbo lift. As you're going up, she says, computer, secure all operations in the turbo lift. Slow ascent. So the turbo lift is moving, but it is now moving at a very slow pace. Think of NCIS whenever Gibbs gets in an elevator, he stops it. That's not what's happening here. It's still moving. It's just not getting there right away.
It's now moving at the speed of plot pacing.
Yes, which is an official unit of measure when it comes to distance and time. Effectively, she does that. A weird purple light comes over, that same similar light that you saw earlier, and she says, if they're read in, then you have to understand, you called the Epsilon Protocol, not us. We know a thing or two about that.
Yes, but the immediate threat's over.
Yeah. That's what we're here to discuss.
All right. How is Shrass doing?
Fine. Pretty well.
Okay. I got you. I hear you loud and clear.
With that, she says, computer, resume. And everything goes back to normal. You get where you're going. There's another hallway. You notice that almost everybody on this ship either has a sidearm or some odd kind of gear that would indicate moderate preparations. They're not at yellow alert status by any means, but they are clearly not in any form of stand down mode whatsoever. They seem to be ready at all times. You will also notice that this ship has a high degree of quote-unquote spit and polish. In fact, you will even see several enlisted folks literally manually cleaning things. And there's an actual duty ensign that is standing there lording over the situation. And as you pass that scene, they immediately snap to, sirs, they salute.
I give them the like, okay, keep walking.
And you get to the conference room. You're let in, and this is where Frank turns to you and says, and where's Ocean?
Something came up.
I know I can be intimidating, but if he's got to back off because he doesn't want any of this.
Oh, don't worry.
I get it.
You'll two have your time to dance. would never deny you such a your one singular joy in this world.
Well, it's not my one singular, Tovar, but we'll see. As she goes in, there's a seat where all the captains are, and then there's a seat for the lower-ranked staff. She takes her seat. Tovar,
so who all's here so far?
Everybody's here. You are the last to arrive.
Excellent.
And standing in front of you is the captain of the Faraday.
So is everyone milling about, or are they have they been seated already?
They're seated, but no conversation has started. Nobody's late. It just you just happen to be Got the it. Last ones to get there. Once you come in, there are two security personnel that were inside. They step outside. They, of course, that same full regalia as the one you saw in the transporter room. The doors close. You see the light over the door, but the lighting doesn't change in the room, and you see that same light going around the borders of the external windows. And then there's a second entrance from the conference room, which would lead to the captain's ready room. It also has that same light illuminating the door area, which is an indication that the room is now secured for conversations. At this point, the captain of the Faraday stands up, breathes deeply, and says, "Welcome to the Faraday. All of the captains know me. For the XOs and other bridge officers present, you may refer to me as Captain Shross. I have been placed in charge of this search. We will be coordinating all efforts through my officers. Each XO is expected to be a liaison between their crew and my officer. Each CO is expected to follow the directions that I am disseminating by way of my personnel I'm placing on your ship. The search patterns begun by the Delamis Christian have yielded some results, but there's more to be done. I have been tasked with doing it. Are there any questions about my authority in this matter?" "Excellent. Now, to the tasks at hand. We are to complete the full search and get any information we possibly can on specifically where the escapees are headed. Any and all information that might lead to better detection or better ways to handle this Epsilon insurgency needs to take top priority. As a result, I've been given the authority to cancel any pending leave requests. Anybody on your ships are staying on your ships unless I reassign them. Anybody currently on leave must remain on leave until I have them reinstated. They must be cleared. You'll be heading back to your ship shortly with my staff joining you. They will review personnel records with your XOs to make sure these orders are followed implicitly. Any questions? Sabian, entertain the class.
So first, not a question, but just to inform you that my chief of security and a detachment are in my runabout outperforming additional sweeps. So they will be returning. I do not know if that counts as leave or would fall into how you want to handle it for this new protocol you are implementing, Captain.
Are they in the sector?
Yes.
Then they're not on leave, they're on task.
Very good. And secondly, what is your goal objective with the personnel search review?
All the ships collected here are fairly small. We have a very tight and manageable amount of people. Therefore, in dealing with Epsilon situations, that is key. That's why some of the larger vessels in Regional Command Group 2 have been left out of this specific search. The more people involved, the harder it is to keep a tight lid on things, and more importantly, the more difficult it is should someone be infiltrated. Therefore, smaller ships, smaller amounts of personnel, lock out personnel who are out, keep personnel who are in, and we contain any possible expansion of the incursion event, as well as dissemination of sensitive information on the topic.
I know I helped Pritchard write these. I'm asking, do you have reason to suspect that any of our crew here have been compromised?
I think the best way I can say that, Tobor, I have reason to suspect that everybody is always compromised. So you'll forgive me if just because the person who helped write the protocols is in charge of the runt of the litter, if I say that's just the way it's going to be. As he says those words, Frank picks up her coffee mug and sips, and she looks kind of down her nose towards Tanari and Milan, and with her pinky out, and smirks.
You haven't changed a bit, sir.
If I were to have changed, I would be the threat.
But you remember what Pritchard always said. Without flexibility, you become brittle. Sir. I'll make sure my officers cooperate fully with your new protocols, sir.
As I knew you would. One doesn't get to be 300... What are we, 40, 50 now? Years old without learning to toe the line every now and then? Most of the other CEOs recognize that there is some significant animosity between the two crews at this point and have literally shrunk back to not get in the crosshairs. Captain Trash is fairly well known as being a bit of a quote-unquote heartacre, but also a bit of a political opportunist and is always trying to one-up. All those things that we talked about and were researched in Frank are very similar to the way Shrass works. He has a little more honor about it. He's not quite as flashy as a human might be in that regard, but he definitively out to make a name for himself and for his career and for his ship, and doesn't particularly care who gets made to look bad while doing it.
So, of course, with that exchange, like, Sabian just does the recline back in the chair and just has that casual, uncaring body posture.
So with that, we are going to end the scene as he says, if there are no other questions, my XO will be joining the crew of the Delamis Christian. My security officer will be joining the crew of the Sagan, and my science officer will be joining the crew of the Marathon. I expect the personnel reports to be completed and delivered within 12 hours. Dismissed. Captain stands up. Frank stands up at the position of attention. As she stands, she glances a scowl at other folks in the room. You start to realize that they stand on a high degree of formality here, and all the other COs and XOs and folks start standing up to the position of attention as the captain is preparing to exit the room.
I get up and walk out of the door and note and gesture to Tanari, and
I follow behind right on my captain's heels.
And I do as well, giving a little formal, almost like an awkward bow as I leave.
Excellent. With that, there are some agape looks, and we will end the scene with that. We're going to pick up with Ocean. It is about this time you are seeing reports of the new orders. You're seeing them come across to other ships first. Just part of what you do is you actually see all those. So you're aware that there's going to be a cancellation of all leave. That hasn't been enacted, but you have a little bit of heads up before the order is enacted.
How long would it take to get to Solok 4 on one of the shuttles?
Standard shuttle at maximum warp. It would take you probably 3-4 weeks, but you could get to a place to catch a freighter or a starliner that could get you there within probably 4-5 days, but you need a shuttle to get there. And there's a couple places you could do that from if you went back to either the Zitty world that you set up or the planet where you guys fixed that communication relay. You could be right, either of those within a day and then catch a liner fairly
quickly. No, I would be – it's highly likely that I would be recalled before I got anywhere useful. So the idea of bailing is no longer something I'm considering.
To be clear, this rule, you can't be recalled as long as you were out of the immediate area first. You'd only have to get about as far as either of those two planets. They're not recalling anybody, but you could, if you got a shuttle before the order came down, you could hit warp and be out of the area in question before that happened. But you'd have to go. You wouldn't have time to pack. You probably wouldn't have time to do much more than leave some kind of message for folks behind you. You'd pretty much have to get on the run.
Yeah, so see, the challenge that I see with that, and let me just talk it out just so that I'm making sure I'm not assuming things. In order for me to leave the ship, especially since I'm the last senior officer, I'm currently the highest senior officer on the ship at this point, I would have to make arrangements for someone to take charge. And since the captain, the commander of the ship is not that far away, the idea of going without his permission would be, I'm assuming that would be a dereliction of duty. Am I overthinking that?
You're not overthinking it. You could definitively say that there are people who would attempt to prosecute you as such.
Yeah.
But there's probably enough legal wiggle room because they are transporter distance away. That may not apply fully, and it would largely depend on whether or not your captain is backing your play or not.
Yeah. Ocean has the values that he values honor over all, and that he's supposed to stand as an example. So as much as he is conflicted, he is not going to leave the ship. However, what I am going to do is make a call.
Okay.
I'm going to call Osh. Or Ike, as I like to call him.
All right.
And I will attempt to secure the... you know what? I will attempt to secure it as I always do, but I'll use a little bit of subterfuge on this call.
Okay. Give me one second.
Mm-hmm.
Do you realize what time of night it actually is right now?
Of course not. I float around in outer space. It's always dark.
You're worse than the snoring heap of Loglogloks right next to me. Why are you calling me? And for the audience, there is a Tellarite in some weird form of, think of Ebenezer Scrooge house coat with a hat thing on and the whole bit. And you can see behind him on the screen that Ocean is looking at, there is somebody sleeping next to him and there's loud snoring in the background, which at times may even be louder than the conversation being held between the two of them. What do you want this time?
What's Judicial looking into right now? Big case? Someone who is targeting, surprise witness, any of that come across your plate?
Judicial's looking at lots of things. What do you mean specifically? Like, okay. Give me a second. He stands up. He picks up the camera. It looks like it was about to flash you with Tellarite bits. Fortunately, it doesn't. As he goes into another room and he sits down, presses a button. Outside windows cloud over, and you hear a white noise device kick in.
I was wondering that when you sleep.
Yeah, like I ever sleep. It's one of the syndicates. There's a witness. This time, there's big things going on. Other parts of the Federation, there have been some pretty large technology theft issues. Somebody traced it to one of the syndicates here. Basically, they provided muscle, transportation, and a technician, a programmer. They are trying to close down the syndicate and use the technician as a means to do so. Apparently, while the technician was doing what they were doing, they got all the info. But the technician is convinced that they're in desperate jeopardy. They are not saying anything until they can secure safety. It's still a local matter, but there are Federation eyes all over this.
There's other eyes on it, too. What does the judicial team look like? Is it staffed? Is it protected?
The team is generally pretty safe. The same old unspoken truth. Cops do cop things. Syndicate does syndicate things. Families and innocents are left alone between the two of them. But this is different. If this prosecution goes through, the syndicate will be shut down for good. This will be the first time since the early days of this colony, back when this system was discovered by Schramm himself, that there hasn't been a syndicate in operation here.
Wait, Schramm?
Oh yeah, this Celtec Force has been around for a long time, long before your family came here. For the first bunch of years, the syndicate wasn't here. When colonists and the first mining guild families came here, everything was smooth. That's what I'm told. Then other things happened. Syndicates have been in operation for a very long time, and as long as they don't get out of pocket, it's been tolerated. Somebody's shutting them down. And it seems someone's daughter was successful in convincing the witness to testify. And she was able to get just enough information to prove the veracity of what he was planning on testifying against. Word on the street is, your daughter may know the information.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, things could go badly for her. She may not be able to testify, but we all know there are elements of even in Starfleet that don't care about that.
What kind of protection can you get her?
The kind of money I'm hearing about? Nobody local is going to stand up against the syndicate this time.
Can you make arrangements that if something goes bad, you can pull her out?
I might be able to get her someplace in the system, but I don't have the ability to get her out of the system. And that would be temporary based on what's coming against her.
Anything's a start. Just, I want her to have a safety net.
Do you have any ability to get her out of the system if that's what it takes?
I would make it happen.
Then consider it done. By the way, when she starts yelling and complaining and refusing, and she says, it's my duty, I'm going to be a Starfleet officer. What am I going to do then? Because for the record, saving her life, I will do. I'm not looking at spending the rest of my life in Rue Repente or some other penal colony because I kidnapped a Starfleet officer who's a member of the prosecution team against her will.
No, pulling her, you are correct. She isn't going to leave. It is her duty to finish that. However, if things go badly, you wouldn't be kidnapping her. You'd be saving her life.
Have you met your daughter?
Yes.
I'm joking. I'll make sure it happens. I'm just telling you, she's going to be angry at somebody. And I hope you know, I will remember your number.
You never lost it.
No, of course not. By the way, I'm told that there are freighters that regularly pass by Deep Space Nine that manage somewhere near you from time to time.
I may know a guy who owes us a couple favors.
I'm also told that there is a silent auction taking place at a bar on Deep Space Nine, so to speak, with a certain regular for some, shall we say, Cardassian technical manuals. Let's just call it that. If you were to have someone make a bid and get those manuals headed my way, that would be very helpful in some other things I'm working on.
I'll see what I can do.
Excellent. Excellent. Can I go back to sleep?
So I've already spaced out a little bit. Huh? Yes. Give my love to your wife. I smile and hang up.
All right. So we are back to those returning from the Faraday. You're in the transporter room. They're about to energize. Is there anything either of the three of you would like to do before the chief sends you home to the DC?
Is Franks joining us, or will she be coming over later?
She is joining you now. She's standing on the pad next to you.
Perfect.
The chief energizes. You arrive at the DC, transporter room one, and what would you like to do?
I step down off the transporter pad and start heading towards the turbo lift. And I ask Franks, where does she want to begin?
Take me to Ocean.
Good. Good. Commander Zilrer.
Sir.
Would you be so kind as to meet Commander Franks and I in the conference room?
On my way.
All right. And for the other two, or what would you like to be doing?
Probably going to consider the research on the sensor.
Okay.
Mr. Tenari?
Yes, sir.
Would you please make sure that all of your crew evaluation reports are taken care of and all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed? And I apologize, Lieutenant Nilan, you're brand new to the department, so I know you've been trying to get up to speed with the team, but if you could assist the XO in putting together the personnel reports that will be required, I would appreciate it.
Of course, yes, sir.
Tenari looks a little pale. He's trying to remember where he kept all of his personnel reports.
What folder was that in?
We have the captain, the XO of the Faraday, and Ocean, I assume.
Yep.
Went? Okay.
Absolutely.
When I come into the conference room, I go to the head of the table, and then I stand behind the chair, and we do this as a standing meeting.
Okay.
And I watch Franks' reaction to this informal standing huddle.
She's taken aback a bit, but she rolls with it. Oh, so this is how we're doing it. Hello, Ocean.
Commander.
If joining the Tabletop Journeys actual play games sounds like the kind of fun you're looking for, be sure to check out patreon.com/TTJourneys, where patrons of the Tabletop Journeys podcast not only get early access to all of our episodes, but they get the opportunity to play in our monthly actual play games where the dice are wild and we make every roll legendary.
So here's the deal. We want to make sure that everybody's cleared. You came in close contact. My understanding from our review of the coded message, and yes, Ocean, good job coding it, but it was delivered to us as we're in charge, does show that you had several crew members that came in direct contact with the Epsilon entities. We'll need to make sure we do some interviews with them. Make sure they're on the up and up. As well as we want to make sure that your logs and your specimens are transferred to the Faraday so we can better steer the research on the matter.
Do you have methods of detecting actual infestation?
Nobody does, but that's what we're working on.
We'll be happy to share our data with you.
We also need your samples.
That's going to not be possible.
I'm sorry?
I said that's not going to be possible. Protocol dictates that they cannot be maneuvered between vessels until full authorization clearance is given by Pritchard.
I believe the specific wording on that protocol is cannot be transported by transporters. I believe physical transfer via shuttle is allowed.
We can ask the Commodore how he wants to proceed.
We don't have to. The moment the Faraday was on site and we convened our meeting, the Faraday was placed in control of this part of the group.
I agree. The Faraday's been put in command of the search element of this mission.
In other words, my captain, your boss, has command and control
of the search. I agree.
We intend to use your samples and the Klingon bodies as part of that search.
I'm interested to know how.
Isn't it obvious? We're going to use them to find a way to detect and locate these creatures.
Again, I'll have all of our relevant medical data sent over, per the protocols.
You're pressing the point on this, aren't you, Tobor?
I'm following the rules, like a good little boy. My smile, that Presence 12 smile.
It's been a long time since I remembered exactly what it is about you I really don't like.
Really? Because you and I have never met. But I remember you. Of course. See, that's the thing with being a Trill. We remember, but we're not the same.
Yeah. What I remember is the part that I don't like.
Mm.
I will say the current frame is better, actually much more to my liking, typically. Don't get jealous, Ocean. I'll tango with you later. But that smug, I know more than you, or I'm going to end up in a better position than you, is what I don't like. Commander, let me be very clear with you. You have command of a ship because I turned it down. My captain sent me over here to make sure that you understand that, and to make sure your people respect that. My captain will not like being told no in this matter.
Then when we drafted the Epsilon protocols, he should have made an exception for physical transport. Again, none of us at the time knew. Hardly any samples survived the original incident. None of us knew if that was because of some sort of species-wide inability for the creatures to remain in a studyable state. But until I get orders from someone much higher in the chain, I am not deactivating that stasis field. But again, I have all the scan data. There's nothing that your team could do. And they're also welcome to come over and experiment them on in my sick bay. That doesn't mean they are being transported. So I think that's a reasonable compromise.
I'll take that to the captain. Ocean, I need you to make sure your various departments' reports are ready to be reviewed. My captain said 12 hours. I need to have a report to him. I need you to be done with your work in 10. Get your people on it. I assume I'll be staying in the diplomatic quarters?
What diplomatic quarters? We're a Saber-class ship. Remember? That's why you turned us down. Such a podunk, rinky-dink little boat, I believe was the exact quote.
Actually, I think I... Yeah, it was pretty close.
Yeah.
All right.
Give you the best we got.
Oh, yeah, excellent.
Guest quarters are number 4, deck 4. I can have my yeoman show you the way there, Commander.
Sounds like a plan. Make sure I get an extra burlap sack since I'm going to be sleeping in the back of your buckboard. Take it easy.
Oh, we already had hammocks hung for you.
Wonderful. And when you're done collecting the rainwater, I'll take a glass with maybe a spoonful of honey.
And filtered or unfiltered?
With the bullshit you like to throw, filtered is always the way I'll go.
Perfect.
The two of you are in the conference room.
I didn't realize you had history.
I have a lot of history with the battle group since I was a part of it at one point. My previous host was. Till that tour of duty came to a sudden and violent end.
I understand that departure from the ship requires the captain's approval.
Yep, and you probably have already seen it right now. Shiraz is canceling all leave and preventing any members on leave from returning to the ship. This was not... So you haven't been fully read into the Epsilon protocol. That my understanding at the time was that it is used for active incursions and encounters with the parasites. I did not anticipate Shiraz using it as an extended political tool to take over near absolute control of this area. So that's not what Pritchard and I designed the protocols for. But just as I'm being a letter of the law on it, as long as it's still in effect, Shiraz is in command.
I'm less worried about that than I am the lack of reciprocity. They're taking charge. Do we have any assurances that they haven't been infested?
Yes. I've seen all of their logs.
Logs could be altered.
The heightened suspicion comes with the fact that we actually had the encounter with the aliens. And even though we've run everyone through the biofilters, we've run everyone through the transporters, looked at everyone's necks physically, everything, Shraz is a unique brand of paranoia that makes Camdral look like he is a fretting grandma.
While it would be against Federation protocols, the best way would be to secure a sample, a living sample. It's a shame that we weren't able to capture one of the Klingon infested alive.
Mr. Najjar and I will be having that discussion when he gets back.
Speaking of getting back.
What would the call?
Yeah.
Any mission critical information I need to know about?
Not directly. We wanted to put eyes on Soltec 4. Because that's where one of the torpedoes was heading in that direction.
Yes. The one we intercepted was hit on that trajectory.
And you are aware that is where I grew up.
Yes, I remember seeing that in your personal file.
There is a personal situation occurring on Soltec 4 as we speak. Multiple levels. My daughter has taken a leave from Starfleet Academy and is aiding with the judiciary in that sector. She's doing that because my father is dying.
Oh, you have my condolences.
Thank you. She is currently acting as... She's turned a witness to a series of technology thefts from the Federation that have been traced to one of the syndicates that operates on Soltec 4. She's flipped the technician, and there is word that there is going to be an attempt.
She I will assume not if leave you're aware post. Of this, Starfleet Security is aware of it as well?
The information came to me through one of Pritchard's agents, and it came through very secure methods. So I would assume that there is some connection with what Pritchard is interested in, which are these creatures. We think that, and I'm trying to put this in a way that doesn't seem self-motivated, but when I first heard about this, I had thought we should be checking out Soltec 4 anyways, and this might be a useful way for me to get there. She will not leave her post, nor will I ask her to.
Of course.
But she is my daughter, and I have made some arrangements to see to her protection. How reliable those are uncertain. The individual knew about my daughter being there and the threat that she was under before I asked any questions. So they don't know about any ulterior motives in our interest in Soltec 4.
If you can get me some linkage that I can take to Shraz to say that we should, quote unquote, work backwards from the target. But my feeling is he already thinks that Celtec 3 was picked at random and had nothing to do with your connection to it. I find that too highly convenient for these aliens that have operated with such impunity and such sleight of hand and double dealings all these years, and that the fact that one of the primary officers involved in the Epsilon mission just so happens their home world was on the target of being infested. I find that too many coincidences to not be connected, but Shraz doesn't see it that way, and so he's more focused on finding the ship. As opposed to, he thinks the threat to Soltec 3 has been neutralized.
I will follow up on the thefts, depending on what that is engaged with. That could be the reason that we need to follow that up. If Soltec 4 was created as a... It was pre-programmed. Had to have been to go through warp.
So when you're doing your research, Ocean, run it through this lens. And I'm sure you very much will understand this, right? Shraw's applied for and was declined a position in the Imperial Guard. So whatever you bring me, if you can frame it in such a way that he can, quote unquote, take glorious credit for it, he's much more likely to lean into it than for the good of anyone else.
I had not realized.
Don't get me wrong. He's not a bad man. He just...
He's ambitious.
He thinks that he can do the most amount of good if he is in a highest position of power. He may not be wrong, but he is always looking to extend his influence so that he may do more good, as he defines it. Not everyone agrees with him, but it's a very big universe. We all get to have our own opinions.
I will ask my parent about that as well. She has recently retired.
Yeah. Now, of course, I know you have all of your personnel reports already done and everything, but I want you to wait till 9 hours and 59 minutes before you send them to Frank's.
Understood. I wondered about that as I picked up the data pad that was on the conference room table because they were already there, but I nod and I'll find some delay.
Do me a favor. Break her other arm. That way, between the two of us, we've gotten both of them.
I hadn't intended to take it that far, but I will take a cue from Colossus Page and consider that to be a logical reaction to my current emotional state.
Franks is a good person, but she's very rigid and respects strength. I think she feels if you're not strong enough, you can't be trusted. Which has some merit, but when you become too inflexible, you become brittle.
And would you consider her approach inflexible? Or do you see the current scenario with her more as a retaliation for past grievances? You two do seem to have a less than amicable camaraderie, should I say.
She never liked the fact that Pritchard relied on me because of the wisdom and experience I brought to the team. And the part that she never got to hear about the story about her turning down the Dalamis Christian is she was only offered it because Pritchard had to, because of rank and seniority. Pesky little Starfleet things about commission dates and protocols and procedures.
I'll begin looking into this immediately. Is there anything else?
I think that should do it.
Okay.
I'll be in my ready room if anyone needs me.
Excellent. With that, we are going to end scene and taking away one momentum for the end of the scene. We are going to come back as our show returns from commercial. And we are going to be back at the engineering pool table, as it were, with our science officer and engineer. They have their solo device. There is a science officer, an ensign from the Faraday present. I'm sorry, Lieutenant J.G. from the Faraday, who does have some specific training in microcircuitry, and they were basically sent over to assist your teams with anything that you're doing towards search efforts.
Question. Are these crew members from the Faraday, are they actually helpful, or are they more like their exo?
So this one appears to be helpful. Fairly junior. This is a young human who genuinely just wants to do a good job, and their work, when you hit your little complication in Stonewall, they've taken on the task of going through and reviewing it to give fresh eyes to it, but they've not been caustic or degrading about any commentary. In fact, they so far have not found anything that they could have done differently or would have done differently. The only thing that they've said is there is a strong possibility that there's something we're missing. Like, we have everything what we've done so far was right, but there is likely something missing. And this person, whose name is Norrin Lucas, says, "Lieutenant, I'm sure that this is an issue with, we are missing a piece of this. Like, we have all the right stuff we're looking for. We have all the right technology in the right places. And we've got all the right circuitry, but there's something not working. If we look at our holo simulations and what we should be finding, it's slightly off. And I can't account for that variance other than there's something environmentally that's missing. I don't know how to recreate that in the lab setting to make this thing work on a bigger or different scale, but somehow or another, you got it to work. Maybe if we try to figure out what was happening in the room when you built it, we might be able to figure it out.
Here's a thought. Ship sensors record what happens in engineering. Why don't we try doing a holodeck recreation of the process, and we go and take a look at it, run it forward, run it backwards, see if the three of us can't see if anything unusual happened while we were putting it together.
So in this recreation, are we going to be doing the things that you all did, or are all three of us going to be observing imitations of you two doing the things?
We'll be observing the copies of us.
All right. It's like watching home movies.
I prefer to think of it as engineering forensics.
Yeah, okay. Home movies. Let's get it. All right. You set up the holodeck to mirror the previous conditions, and you're watching the process. Obviously, it took you days, hours to do this, so of course it goes through those things, so you're analyzing it. In this particular case, you're going to be trying to pick out things. There are a specific number of things that are actually missing. Lieutenant J.G. Lucas actually was right about that piece of it. The two of you will each separately, though the ship can roll to assist you, be able to figure that out. The difficulty is only a two, and it's a straight challenge, but you'll each be able to tell me your approach as far as what you're looking for and how you're looking for it, and then we'll make the rolls from there. There may or may not be complications. That will be largely based on what's going on with your approach and in that regard. So as you're watching yourselves having done the work, I'm going to start with Lacey. What does Lieutenant Mila look for?
I'll be looking for what particular parts of the experiments of the technology we're working on when specific things were in the room. Like if we had like samples or had specimens in the room.
Okay, fair enough. I would probably go with a reason science in that regard, unless you were thinking of something else, some other way to do it.
No, that sounds reasonable.
Okay.
Are we looking for two total, or the two over both of our...
Two successes. Each of you are doing separate roles to see if you can figure this out. But, Adam?
I was going to say, if this is a new scene, I don't want to interrupt what's going on. Yep. But add a threat to the pool because I'm going to leverage the well-informed talent during this new scene.
Roger that. Okay. So we are up some threat. And I misspoke earlier, so I need to clarify. Lucas will be assisting each of you. So it's not that you only have the ship. It's just Lucas will be the assist in each case. Basic, your task difficulty is two, and you have the ship and Lucas, depending on how successful you are with your role.
I got a 1 and a 16. I think 16 is not a pass.
Okay, so in that case, you have one success, which is a critical, so you've got two. Joe, would you be kind enough to roll for the DC?
Absolutely. A 6, so no matter what it is, it will succeed.
Excellent. And the lieutenant will roll. The lieutenant, however, is looking at doing this from an insight perspective. Specifically, the lieutenant is checking this out from is there something happening that each of you didn't work on or didn't notice? So he's looking at all the equipment and all the information that was going on, but not specifically with the experiment, to see if he can time what you were doing with other events. So he's using insight in that regard. So it'll be insight science for them. And does not add any success. There was no extended complication range based on what you were doing, by the way, but does not add any success with an 18. And so you are able to determine that There's a specific time that this all connected, came together when you got it to work, but you weren't able to notice anything out of the ordinary or specific about what happened at that time. But you do have that time. There's a timestamp for when all of these things came together and made it work. Dave?
All right. I'm going to be trying to check environmental factors, the materials we're using, seeing if anything unusual happened with that. I would think reason engineering.
Sounds good.
And I would like to avoid any more complications. I will spend a threat for an extra dice.
Ooh, yeah.
Do we have the engineering crew working on this so that I have the reduction in difficulty, or are they busy doing other things?
They're busy doing other things at this time.
No problem. All right. A 2, a 10, and a 2, so 3 successes.
Excellent. Adam, would you roll for the ship?
Let's see if I can do it again. No, I rolled a 15.
All right. And the Lieutenant JG has a 5. So they are also successful. So that's a total of
4
successes. Difficulty was 2. You have 2 momentum that is gained. 1, 2. And you are able to specifically pick up on what happened at that timestamp. There was a subspace distortion that created a variation in the scan. That variation effectively was hard-coded into your work, and that's why it didn't work any other time you were able to try it, because none of those other things took into account that exceptionally slight and anomalous variation. And it is that same type of subspace distortion that you've been dealing with since you came to this region of space. That seems to be the controlling factor here. Basically, in order to get any kind of detector that works, you're going to have to account for that distortion, whether it is present in a wave at that moment or not present. It has to vary between those two extremes.
We had created some shielding to filter those out, correct?
You did.
If we put that shielding up while we're building them, would that be able to factor? Or is it the fact that we need it to go on while we're building it?
You either need it to go on or you need it to be set up to account for its presence.
Okay.
And because it varies even when it is present, that's very difficult to do. So effectively, yeah, you need it to be present while you're doing it. But you also know it has very dangerous and deleterious effects to personnel when it's on. In other words, you probably need to find a way to protect individuals engaging in building it, even though it has to be built in that environment.
Okay. Any of the research that we had during that first conference, did any of it allow us to artificially create that kind of subspace variance so that we could build these on demand?
Part of the weapon that was used, though it was a weaponized version, so it is not refined for safe use, absolutely used the type of technology that you're discussing.
So we have the possibility to create the conditions where we can mass produce these.
But you'd have to find a way to make that safe.
Which would probably require some more work on our part.
That would be the next. Basically, you have now identified the actual need for your next breakthrough.
And you understand that this information is not doing much for my paranoid tendencies.
In fact, Liwanika loves it.
It's not paranoia if you're right.
It's true.
So the next time we go back to that work track, the next breakthrough would be to really find a way to safely recreate that specific environment so that you're able to do this. But you have all the right information to be able to do it. So it is now possible to be able to make those rolls when the time comes. But it's taken you a while to get that done, but you've got that really well defined. In addition to that amount of success, you will also determine on the science side that it is very likely that same distortion effect will create, Anila, this is what you've noticed because you were able to do this and see how the samples react in these situations, even though they're holodeck versions, that even the deceased samples react to that subspace. So much so that it is reasonable to assume that distortion is an attractant to that species. They literally are looking for it and or the source of it.
Ooh. All right. Science fist bump.
Science, y'all.
The fact that we know what may be attracting them, that's huge.
Did you say that we had a way to recreate that distortion?
We potentially have a way to. We have pathway to do it, I believe is what he was saying.
Yeah.
But we need to protect ourselves as we're working on it, or it could
correct.
Cause harm.
Okay. What happened is that our first episode, we were at a conference for subspace technology. And the technology that will allow us to recreate it came from a subspace weapon, theoretical subspace weapon. And we happen to have those papers in our computer. So we need to de-weaponize the technology, I guess is the term.
If it wasn't, it is. I like it. That works for me. Look, hey, we're Starfleet. We'd much prefer to de-weaponize technology than weaponize technology, right? That is, in fact, why we're out here.
The high-tech way of saying beat your swords into plowshares.
Exactly.